My brothers and sisters in the Lord, Mark Twain once wrote that he was sitting in a church listening to a minister deliver his sermon. And he was so caught up in the sermon, it caused so much excitement that at one point he said to himself, I'm going to give all the money I have in my wallet when the collection basket comes around. That's how much he was touched by the sermon. But there was only one problem. The sermon didn't end there. It went on for about another 10 minutes. And Mark Twain wrote that he was beginning to become a little aggravated, so he decided he was not going to give all the money he had. He was going to keep the dollar bills to himself and only give the coins. And then the sermon went on an additional 10 minutes. And at that point, Mark Twain decided he wasn't going to give anything. He was aggravated. And then it went on for an additional 10 minutes. To which point Mark Twain wrote, when the basket comes around, I want to take $2 out for myself. My brothers and sisters, I tell you that story because certainly those of us who prepare homilies or sermons, we look at, by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, what is the Lord calling us to preach on today, especially with a gospel that we have presented? There are so many themes, so many different passages. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, I don't want you taking any money out of the collection basket, so I'm only going to preach on one verse. And the verse is this. Blessed are those who stay awake. Blessed are those who stay awake. In the gospel, Jesus puts it like this. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who stay awake, who are vigilant, who are open to the movement of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Certainly, my brothers and sisters, this is not formally found in one of Jesus' Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. But I do like to call it a Beatitude because Jesus offers it as a blessing. Blessed are those who stay awake, who are ready, who are prepared, and who are vigilant. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, in the context of the gospel today, Jesus is speaking about his second coming. At the end of time, will we be awake? Will we be vigilant? Will he find us faithful in his vineyard? Or will he find us asleep or occupied with other things of the world and not what is important to God? He uses images that would be familiar to the people of his day. Gird your loins and light your lamps and be like servants who await their master's return. We know that during that time, men in the East used to wear long robes. And so when it was time to work, you had to tie those robes up. Gird your loins and light your lamps. Certainly, we know they didn't have any electricity. They didn't even have anything like we would call a hurricane lamp. Their lamps sort of looked like a little saucer bowl in which a little cotton wick sort of floated in there. In order to keep the lamp lit, you had to constantly trim the wick and constantly ensure that this little bowl was filled with oil. You had to be prepared or the light would go out. The same is true for us, my friends. Blessed are those who are prepared. And why do we have to be prepared? Because you see, my brothers and sisters, yes, we prepare for the second coming of the Lord. And yes, we prepare individually when we will stand before God on the last day and give an accounting of our lives at the particular judgment. But also, my brothers and sisters, Jesus wants us to be prepared each and every day. Because when we're not prepared, we're not open to the call of God in our life. We're not open to the movement of the Spirit. And we're not open to the many ways that God desires to bless us and form us and mold us and use us as instruments of his grace, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. Because when we fail to stay awake, my brothers and sisters, oftentimes we miss how God is working. Because as you and I well know, our God is a God of surprises. He often works in mysterious ways, ways beyond our understanding, ways beyond our imagination. And unless we're vigilant and unless we're awake, we miss the movement of our God. I was reading a little article that was written by a priest in a diocese in Texas. He was pastor in a particular parish for 15 years. He had 10,000 families, not 10,000 parishioners, 10,000 families. It's one of they call the mega churches. Everything's bigger in Texas. 10,000 families, was there 15 years. He had 35 people on staff. He had no school. 35 people worked for the parish. Like a little IBM over there. And so he was writing how comfortable he was because now after 15 years, he had the parish how he wanted it. Things were going smoothly. He had a wonderful staff. Everything seemed to be flowing well until one day the phone rang. And when the phone rang, you know who was on the other end? It was the bishop. Now you, as a pastor, you know when the bishop calls, your throat starts to swell up. And Father Cooper usually asks, what have I done wrong now? But the bishop called and invited this priest to come in. And the bishop wanted the priest to take a new assignment. And before the bishop described the assignment, he thought, oh, I'm going to have to go to another parish. I'm going to have to start over, but I've been a pastor for 15 years or more now from other parishes. I have this skill set. I can do it. But the bishop didn't want him to be a pastor. The bishop said to him, I want to place you in charge of evangelization in the diocese. Particularly, I want you to be in charge to be able to teach our people how to pray. And the priest just looked at the bishop, and the bishop just looked at the priest, and he was kind of stunned. And as he walked away, he said to himself, I have no formal training in that sort of spirituality. Certainly, I have a prayer life. Certainly, I have parishioners. But I'm going to teach a whole diocese how to pray. And he asked the bishop, well, how many people am I have on staff? He said, zero. It's just you. And so he was fighting back and forth of what was he going to do? And how was he going to perform this task that was now asked of him? And so when he went home, he did what he normally did. In his time of prayer, he took his Bible and he just opened it. And wherever the Holy Spirit led, that's where he read. And as he was writing this article, he said when he opened his Bible, this was the passage that he read. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. And of course, as we know, Jesus gives the Our Father. It was a confirmation for him. But he writes that he would not have been open to that. And he would not be willing to accept that unless he was awake, unless he was prepared, unless his heart was open. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, God works in unexpected ways. Sometimes he opens doors in our life, and sometimes he closes windows. Sometimes he's calling us to something new, and sometimes he's saying it's time for something to come to an end because he has another mission or task for us. The key is, are we open? I read this little funny story. There were three priests in South Africa. They were there on some sort of international convention. They were sharing a hotel room. Their hotel room was on the 51st floor. And after they got back late one night from the convention, the hotel staff said, the elevators are out. Now, this is not the Hilton or the Marriott. They don't make any accommodations. They just pointed to the stairs and said, there you go. And so they kind of looked at each other and they said, well, we're going to have to make the hike. So they said, for the first 17 stories, 17 flights, we're going to tell funny stories to make the time go by. For the second 17 flights, we're going to tell scary stories. And then for the last 17 flights to get to 51, we're going to tell sad stories. And so they started and they told funny stories, and it gave them a jolt of energy. The time went by. They went up the second 17 flights, and they told scary stories, and it kind of kept them going. And they started up the last 17 flights, and they told sad stories, and when they got to the 50th floor, everyone was silent. They ran out of stories, and they sort of looked at each other with one flight left. And one priest looked at his other two brothers, and he said, "Well, gentlemen, I have the saddest story of them all. I just left the key at the reception desk." The key, my friends, the key is, are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we vigilant? Blessed are those who are prepared, who are awake, who are ready, and who are vigilant. What does Jesus say at the beginning of our gospel today? "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." The Lord wants us to inherit the kingdom, not only in the next life, but as the kingdom of God breaks into this world, He wants to be instruments of His grace. But we can't do that if we're not awake. In the end, my friends, no reserve, no regret, no retreat, and no taking money out of the collection basket. Blessed are those who are awake.